What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to A Gal and a Gay with a Pop Culture Connoisseurs. This is episode 165. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for joining us. It is now like midsummer.
Yes. Midsummer, yeah. Stranger Things is back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
There's a lot of really good shows that have kind of come out this summer. Queer Eye, the new season 4, the last season in Kansas City, premieres July 19th. Veronica. Yeah. Oh, actually, I've just started watching some of the old Veronica Mars now that they're
good
on Hulu. For the first time, the new season starts July 26th. And the one thing we forgot to put in our rundown is Drop Dead Gorgeous is now available on Hulu.
Is it really?
Okay. Right?
I've been wanting to watch that forever and you can't find it anywhere. So that's awesome.
I have a DVD copy. It was funny because on the 4th of July, we had a party and some of us were talking, you know, we were going over some of the quotes from Drop Dead Gorgeous. And we're like, oh man, if only I had our DVD copy of it, we could watch it. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's just, maybe there's a streaming service that we can find, or we can just buy it on iTunes. You can't even buy it on iTunes. And then it said coming July 5th, Drop Dead Gorgeous on Hulu. So
thank God, finally, somebody picked it up.
And where did I thought I sent it to you about Ellen Barkin and Allison Janney. They love it just as much as we do.
No, do they?
They did a post on Instagram that I'll share on our Facebook page. But anyway, they seem to still be really good friends, and they just talk about how much fun they had shooting Drop Dead Gorgeous and the difference obviously it made in their life. And it still, I mean, it had such a cult following when it came out. And I remember we didn't see it in theaters. I think we saw it on DVD from what I remember the first time, because my friend Sarah, who you know, she's like, we have to watch this movie, it looks so good. And I remember one night after a newscast, we went to my place and popped it in and we watched it, and we just instantly fell in love with it. There had so many quotable lines. Kirstie Alley was in it, Denise Richards, Kirsten Dunst, Ellen Barkin, Allison Janney. I mean, the list goes on. And even Amy Adams is in it, and she's really,
that's right,
almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And what's her name from Clueless? Brittany Murphy. Oh, Brittany Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a long time. I just remember watching it on cable a lot and really enjoying it. So I probably haven't seen it in 15 years or something. Who knows? So it's been a while. So, but I would like to watch it.
Yeah. So that might be something you can watch later today. It's only 97 minutes, which it was pretty surprising to me that it's that short, but it's just jam packed with some great moments, and the characters are just fantastic.
Yeah, it's very funny. So if you haven't seen that movie, it's on Hulu now, so go watch it. It's very funny. So, and it, like I said, it has a huge, it's a cult film. People love it. So it's glad that it's on Hulu now. So
yeah. All right, so what else are you watching?
Well, I've been watching a lot of
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, which we'll talk about. But there's a few shows on TV right now that I've been watching with my dad. There's one called City on a Hill. It's on Showtime. Yeah. It's produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, set in Boston in the early 90s, and it deals with FBI and criminals. So like, it's, you know, it very much has like that town feel, like, you know, it's very old school Boston, but it's good. It's you know, it's so far pretty good. I don't know if you ever watched The Town or any of those other Boston kind of movies. It's like that.
Okay.
So, and then Nosferatu, which is on FX right now. It's okay. It's based on a book by Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's son. So that gives you an idea. It's a horror mystery kind of thing. Zachary Quinto's in it. He plays the bad guy. And he's like a vampire. It's okay. It's I don't know. It's kind of lackluster. I feel like it would be so cool, but it's just like most of it, they spend so much time like setting up the girl who's sort of the hero. And it's just, I don't know. I find myself kind of bored with it, but I'm going to keep watching it through the end just to see how it goes. Anyway, if you like horror stuff, it's worth a watch, I guess.
Hmm.
And then The Rook, which
are you going to watch? Speaking of horror, are you going to watch Midsommar? Is it just Midsommar?
Yeah, I think it's just Midsommar. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm not going to actively go out and look for it, I think, because I'll probably just wait for it to be on, you know, streaming or to rent. I saw Hereditary, who's the same director, which I enjoyed, but I didn't really like the ending. So, and it was kind of a fucked up movie. so I'm sure the movie Midsommar is just the same. But like I said, I'll probably just wait to rent it or something. I'm not gonna go out and see it in the theater. But one more show I want to mention is called The Rook, and it just started on Stars. These are all like their summer programming. But it's kind of a mystery. There's a woman, she has some abilities, but she doesn't remember her name or anything about herself, and she's trying to figure that out. So it's like, it's a mystery with some supernatural elements, and Olivia Munn's in it.
Is she? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so far, I mean, so it's only been one episode, but so far I like it. So I'm excited to see how it goes. So anyway, living with somebody who has all these premium channels opens up your world to so many different series you could just watch.
So
otherwise, I would not be watching these at all because I wouldn't have access to Showtime and Stars.
Stars. Did you ever watch what is it? The Gods?
American Gods?
American Gods, yeah.
First season was great. Second season I was not that impressed with, so we'll see. But the show's gone through a lot of behind the scenes stuff. The creators and original showrunners left, and then like two of the big stars left because they left, and so you can feel it's probably suffered a little creatively because of changing hands. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Kristen Chenoweth was in the first one.
Right? Yeah. And she was phenomenal. And so was Gillian Anderson. But they both left when Brian Fuller, who was the creator and showrunner of the show, left because Starz didn't want to give them the budget that they wanted. So they had some different people, and it wasn't bad. It was just, the show is strange. It can be strange, and they talk a lot of metaphors, and sometimes it's hard to follow. But I do enjoy the characters, so we'll see how season three goes. There is a season three.
Excellent. Yeah, Gillian Anderson was fantastic in it. Some of the last couple of things that she's been in, I mean, she has such a wide range of acting. The Sex Education, you watched that?
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
So good.
Yeah, she's very choosy, I think, about what she does, and I mean she's so great in everything she does, so it was a little bummer that she left American Gods, but Liev Schreiber, who plays Mad Sweeney on American Gods, is probably the standout for me. He's fantastic.
Excellent. And we also need to mention, I don't know if you followed this, but just today, the U.S. Women National Team won the World Cup 2-0, beating the Netherlands. So that's pretty exciting. And of course, the U.S. Women's Cup the women's team has made a lot of headlines over the last couple of weeks because of the goalie. Again, I really didn't follow this too much, but Megan Rapinoe, she basically said if they won, she's not going to the White House because she hates Donald Trump. So
yeah.
So we can look forward to her not being part of it when they, if they go to the White House. So, but congratulations to them. That's
yeah, I know. I mean, I know a lot of people were really excited about it. It was all over my Facebook when they won. So yeah, good for them.
And I heard that the women's jersey is like one of the number one selling soccer jerseys.
Yeah, I read that too. So that's cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to Stranger Things. You have finished it.
I have binged the third season.
I have not.
Yes.
We are only on, we just finished episode 4, and we're recording this podcast on a Sunday afternoon, and I want to spend the rest of Sunday watching it. And
you should. Because, you absolutely should.
Oh, it is. I just can't get over how it continues to be better than the season before it.
I agree. Every season gets better.
I really thought it would lose a little steam coming into season 3, but it hasn't at all.
No.
It's actually picked up steam, and it's even better. And the kids, we've talked about this many times on the podcast, how difficult it is to cast kids, especially young kids, in a series when you know that they're going to be growing up through, you know, a few seasons. And they found Millie Bobby Brown and all of them.
They're, I mean, every one of those kids is phenomenal. And they just keep getting better. And I think they're doing a good job of having them grow up in the series, you know, so but even like, cause my dad hadn't watched season 2. So we binged season 2 before we started season 3. And even between 2 and 3, those kids have grown so much. It's crazy. Puberty.
Yeah.
Puberty.
So what does he think of all this?
Oh, he loves it. Yeah. He just never got around to watching the second season. And so we finally watched it, and he's like, this is really good. I don't know why I waited so long to watch it. So I mean, it's just, they do so many things well. And I love the classic 80s tropes of the Russian bad guys invading America, you know, that sort of thing. There's just so many little things they do that are just so perfect. You know, it's just in paying homage to all these 80s movies, that it's just so great. You know, and you would think that they would, you know, eventually they would get, it would get stale, but it doesn't. I mean, there's so much. I think there's so many things they pull inspiration from that it really just makes it fresh. And the kids are great. Millie Bobby Brown has more words to say this year. So I mean, this season,
is
great.
Right?
You know. So
he's actually forming sentences.
Right, because 11 is learning how to speak and be a human and that sort of thing. And it's just really great. David Harbour again, fantastic. Winona Ryder, love her. So.
What I love is this basically just transports you back to the 80s. You grew up in the 80s, if you were born in the 80s, there are little things that just like take you right back to when you were a kid or a teenager or wherever you were at in the 80s. There were some bed sheets on one of the kids' beds, and I was like, oh my God, I had those sheets. I loved those sheets. Like, where do they find all of this stuff? It's incredible the amount of detail that goes into everything that you see on screen. And I'm sure that there are even certain things that you're going to, you know, that we'll pick up after watching this a couple of times. Just the little details that it's not just, oh, you have a great script, and with that script, you can, you know, have great actors, but just everyone plays a role, and creating even a bedroom or the inside of a house or the mall. Oh my gosh.
The mall. Yeah. Oh. Back when malls were a thing in their heyday. So
yeah.
Yeah. And can we talk about, I've loved the relationship now between Steve and Dustin. They're like best friends.
Yes. Right.
It's so cute, and I love it. It's just so enjoyable. And that kid who plays Dustin, his name is Glenn Matt. Oh, sorry.
Matter. Matterzoa.
Yeah. Matter, but he is just, he kills me every season. I'm just like, he's just so cute and he's so good at what he does. He's just, he's a joy. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they have such great chemistry.
They really do.
Especially like when, I'm not spoiling anything, but in episode one, where Steve and Dustin see each other again for the first time after Dustin gets back from a camp. And it is just like, how funny. And then I will, the newest cast members, who is the daughter.
Maya Hawke.
Yeah, of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. She just fits in to this cast.
She really does. She did such a great job. And her character gets better. And her relationship with Steve gets better. And she's fantastic. I think she's a great addition to the cast. And she's like, she looks so much like both her mom and her dad. Like she's a perfect blend of the two. It's so strange to look at her.
Which is also funny because Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman became really popular in the 80s.
Yes, exactly.
Especially
Ethan. And Ethan Hawke and Winona Ryder were in Reality Bites together. So it's kind of funny that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Now that Winona and his daughter are on the same show. So.
The one thing that I like about, I mean, there are many things because she's a fantastic actress, but Robin, Maya Hawke, she adds commentary that I feel like the viewers, she's saying some stuff that the viewer, like us, that we would say. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a line, and I think, again, it's in episode one, and this is not a spoiler, but she says to Steve, how many kids are you friends with?
Yeah.
You know, because he's graduated, but yet has all of these friends who are kids in, you know, middle school age to early high school. It's just, she has some really, really great lines. And we have to mention the fan favorite from season two who is back, and that's Erica, Lucas's.
Oh, she shines in this, let me tell you, because she's a much larger role in this season, and she is 100% funny and sassy, and she is great. Oh, yeah.
You can't spell America without Erica.
It gets really good. Her and Dustin have a lot of scenes together later on in the season, and like I said, she's a joy. I'm so glad they gave her a bigger role too, because
she's
great.
Well, and we have to say, like, the girls are killing it this season.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
They are taking charge, and it is, I love all of the different dynamics of all of the different characters and the different teams and how they change up and they move through the season. It is, again, it's brilliant. I think
brilliant TV. They've really found their little niche corner of the internet, and that people love it, and it's just so well done. You know, it's just brilliant all around. So, you know, you forget how good the show was until I'm like, oh yeah, the show's amazing. I forget. So there's lots of product placement though. Like, it is in every episode. I'm like, oh, from Burger King to Marlboro, there's product placement. It's so funny.
and some brands that have not been around.
Yeah, that died with malls. So It's just
the Duffer Brothers. I hope Netflix has them signed to a very long and lucrative contract on their for their part. But and I think, from what I remember reading, I think last season, I think we only have two more seasons of this.
Oh, is it really? Is it stopping after five?
Yeah, I think they said that five was it. They have an end game, thankfully.
Which I'm fine with. You know, like I said, I appreciate a series that has a clear beginning, middle, end. You know, so it doesn't feel like it's forcing itself along. So I'm fine with that. So anyway, I can't wait till you finish it so we can talk about everything. And theories.
Well, it could be today. It could be today because you just get locked in, and it's just like, I don't want it to end, but I also don't want to wait to, you know.
I know. Well, that's the only bad thing about watching all 10 episodes at once. Now I have to wait another, what, year and a half before the next season comes out, so.
And here's another thing. So I was thinking, so last year they did it at Halloween. This year was the 4th of July.
Right.
I think before this series ends, I'm calling this right now, before the series ends, it has to be one of the next two seasons. It has to be around Christmas time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can just see the snow. Yeah. In Indiana, obviously they have snow. And I think we're going to get some kind of callback to Gremlins.
Oh, for sure. Yes, for sure. There's a little, I don't remember, but there's a scene briefly where a girl gets a little Gremlins doll, and you see it briefly on
camera. Oh,
yeah. You have to look for it, though. I think they're at a fair when that happens. I can't remember, but yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, Gremlins is on the way, I have a feeling. And Christmas time is
perfect. Oh, and we should mention Cary Elwes, who I just like that they get like every major 80s star to be in this in some way or fashion. So Cary Elwes, the mayor, and he's a bad guy, obviously. But it's just great. And he looks good. I mean, I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. I'm like, well, yeah, Cary Elwes. He looks good for.
Yeah. So. And obviously I haven't watched all of it, but have they done any Princess Bride Easter egg or anything?
Nothing that I noticed right away, but it's entirely possible that I just didn't notice it or I missed it. So, I mean, maybe somebody who's a little more familiar with all of Princess Bride could point it out, but probably. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in there.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. All right. So we talked about Queer Eye, Veronica Mars. Oh, and we also need to mention that Podbean is the podcasting platform that we use for our podcast.
Yeah, they host our podcast.
Yeah. So they have come out with a podcast for summer, and we made the cut. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I know. It's really nice that they did that. I mean, of course we want you to listen, but it's nice to that they put us on a list. And there's a lot of other great podcasts on that list too. So about food and travel and pop culture. So
yeah. And we also need to give a shout out to the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's another podcast on our platform, and we will actually be on their podcasts here very soon.
Yeah, we're gonna be talking to them pretty soon. They reached out, and so we're gonna talk to them about pop culture and podcasting and that kind of stuff. So we're looking forward to that.
Yep, so, and yeah. We'll try to get them on our podcast as well. So that article, the podcast for summer from Podbean, we have posted on our Facebook page, which is A Gal and a Gay. And yeah, check out some of them. There's some really good ones. I just started subscribing to a couple of them. The Amateur Traveler is one of them that is really good. I like. And I want to start. I did subscribe to this one, but I haven't listened to it yet. It's True Crime Garage.
I have listened to that. Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have. I've listened to a couple episodes of that. Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's very popular in the true crime podcasting world. So yeah,
nice. And also we should mention that Dirty John is also on that, and that is fantastic. And it was also made
it, but
you what?
I haven't listened to it yet, but
oh, you haven't?
No,
you haven't watched the TV Connie Britton yet either?
No,
you?
I haven't either.
You should watch it.
I know.
Well, you like Ozark. You like Ozark, right?
Ozark, yeah.
Yeah, the daughter is in it.
Oh,
Julia Garner. She actually plays Connie Britton's daughter in Dirty John.
Okay.
So she's really blowing up. Besides playing Ruth on Ozark, she's really starting to do some more film and some other TV series.
She was, yeah, she was just in something else I watched too, but I cannot remember what it was, but she has been in several things.
Oh, she was in Manic. You watched that.
That's what it was. That's what it was. I was trying to remember what I just watched.
Yep. And then she was in The Americans as well.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot there. Okay. So before we get to our movie review, I saw Spider-Man this week. I just want to go over a couple things in the news. One thing that kind of caught my eye is that Toll Road did an article about the TV habits of liberals and conservatives. And so there are five TV shows besides the wildly different ones of each group. There are five that kind of bring everyone together. So this is, again, Toll Road, and this was a company that did research on, you know, basically if you get a lot of these surveys of what TV shows you watch, and then they cluster that with where you fall in the political spectrum, whether you lean more middle of the road, more left, more right. And so I thought these were interesting because obviously I know kind of where I stand, and I don't necessarily fall in the same category. I thought it was interesting when you look, because I think one reason is because, and I think you might be the same way, I watch all different types because I just love consuming entertainment and pop culture.
Me too.
So here are some of the shows that they say mini blues. So they consider the blues the liberals.
Yeah, so blue's liberal, red is conservative, and then purple's somewhere in the middle is what they're going by in this article.
So it says blues enjoy watching Modern Family, The Big Bang Theory, which you do not like.
No, I hate
And you would consider yourself a little more purple or blue. The Simpsons, you love.
I love The Simpsons.
South Park.
South Park I loved when I was younger. I don't really care for it now, but I mean, there was a point in time where I watched it. And Law and Order SVU, I mean, obviously I still love that show. I don't watch it ever, but you know, every once in a while they'll do a marathon on, you know, on TV, and you just sit down and watch it. So, which is surprising that's more of a liberal thing, but that show also does cover more liberal issues, I would say. So, you know, like they feature more of that, which I'm okay with, and I think they should, but you know.
Yeah. And then they throw in the purples, who are more the middle of the road, and they say the purples, their favorite shows include The Voice, Dancing with the Stars. They also like Saturday Night Live, and which is obviously a favorite among the blues. But then you have, when you look at the red, reds love like Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. But purples and reds love Duck Dynasty, but purples and blues love Saturday Night Live. So it's kind of in the middle there. I would say the only thing I like really is Saturday Night Live, but I don't even watch it that much. I'm not really into reality TV. I have watched The Voice on occasion, but it's not my favorite thing to watch. So.
And I also thought it was funny. And Saturday Night Live, I don't really watch it much, but I watch the clips. I like watch the cold open or watch whatever, but I don't just sit down and watch Saturday Night Live.
I don't watch it from beginning to end. Yeah.
This is interesting. I thought they say reds say they seldom watch entertainment TV, but they claim they watch for an adrenaline boost, but reds prefer Hallmark, History, and Ion channels. And their favorite show is NCIS.
That is not surprising to me at all. At all. Let me tell you, all the older conservatives in my family love NCIS.
Well, you know who also loves NCIS or used to watch it religiously and record it on his DVR?
Would that be your blue husband?
My very blue husband. So, which is fun. Like, it was weird. Like, I was like, all right, I don't know how you got hooked on NCIS, but he did used to watch a lot of CBS shows.
But I think, and my sister really liked NCIS as well, and she leans blue. So, but it is just one of those, I think it's one of those shows you just kind of like, I don't know, I used to watch CSI, like NCIS Las Vegas, I used to watch that, and that's, you know, it's basically the same thing. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So there are, here are the shows that will bring everyone together. So this is what, no matter which part of the spectrum, the political spectrum they fell on, these are the shows that everyone could agree on. America's Funniest Home Videos,
mm-hmm.
Bones, Criminal Minds, Mythbusters, which isn't even on anymore.
Yeah.
And Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. I mean, obviously when I was a kid, we religiously watched America's Funniest Home.
Everybody did. Absolutely.
Everyone.
Is it still on?
It is.
It is. Okay.
It is. Yep. And is it, it's not still Tom Bergeron. That,
no, I think it's like, Carlton from Fresh Prince, didn't he host it for a little bit?
He's still, he's still doing it. Yeah. It shows him hosting it.
But like some of these, like Bones, Criminal Minds, these are straight police procedural dramas, you know, like I understand why that is a middle of the road, because everybody likes that kind of stuff, you know, for the most part. So I was still, there's several other shows I'm sure that are just like that. Mythbusters. I mean, that's just, I understand that too, because that's just kind of neat, you know, seeing them explain things. Pawn Stars, I've never watched Pawn Stars, but I guess it's probably the allure of seeing just how much people will pay for junk. I don't know. It's interesting.
I've watched an episode here or there, but that's about it. All right, so there you go. And yeah, you guys should check out that article. And that article was by Vulture.
It's interesting.
It was Toller Road.
Oh, Toller Road.
Yep.
But I mean, there are shows out there for conservatives, shows for liberals, but then there are some that bring us together. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, so now we'll get to Spider-Man Far From Home. You have not seen this yet, correct?
I have not seen it yet.
But you did watch Endgame and you liked
it. I did. I did.
All right, so I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I will tell you a couple things. Number one, you have to stay for both end credit scenes.
Okay.
So a lot of times the first one is kind of sets up the next movie. Maybe it's not earth shattering, but it, you know, kind of gives you a glimpse into what direction the next movie that's coming out will be going in. And usually the second one is usually just a fun throwaway one. That is not the case with either one of these. They are super important. The first post-credit scene is basically an extension of the movie, and it turns everything up on its head. I was shocked at where it went. And then the final one was a big reveal. So it's one of those movies you're going to have to wait until the very, very end to see. And overall, this is a fantastic movie. Tom Holland is getting even better as Spider-Man. He is just so he's such an easy actor. I think in this role, it just seems to come very natural to him. And they did a brilliant job casting him, and his character development just gets even deeper. And a lot of people, and I even went into the movie thinking, how is this ending? Because Marvel has said this is the one that's ending Phase 4.
Mm-hmm. Which
I think if you saw Endgame, that would be
right
end, because it's Endgame,
right?
And so yeah, I was a little skeptical. And also how, and we talked about this after Endgame, how are these kids still in high school after Endgame because of the snap and all this stuff? And
well, I think we talked about that. I think, you know, not all of them, some of them got snapped. So I imagine the ones who weren't snapped lived on and went are not in high school anymore. And then the ones who were gone for 5 years are now back where they started, you know? So they have to finish high school.
Something similar to that.
Okay.
Similar. Okay. But it is answered within the first couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
And I will say that I've already talked about the end, but I have to say the very beginning of this movie is probably the best opening of a Marvel movie I've seen yet.
Oh, okay. Good.
It is spot on. I can't really give too much away, but it is spot on. And it's so unexpected. I never thought I would ever hear the song that they use in any Marvel movie ever. Ever.
Okay.
It's so good. So there's so many things to look out for. Jake Gyllenhaal he's so good. He's so good.
Love Jake Gyllenhaal. Love him.
And I wish that he had been introduced long before this, but it makes sense, actually, how he's introduced, what role he plays, and it's very enjoyable. I will say, like, maybe the first half, you don't really know what is going on, and you're kind of confused, but the way it plays out, I think people will really be impressed by it. And the cast is fantastic. Jon Favreau has a lot to do in this one, as does Marissa Tomei.
Good, good.
They are so good together. Oh my God. It's good. It's good.
Okay.
Can't wait for you guys to see it.
Okay, so good. I'm glad that it's good. I knew it would be.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. We don't know what the next Marvel movie is.
You're right. Yeah, we don't.
We know we know that they are filming a Black Widow movie right now. And there's still a lot of speculation as to why we need a Black Widow movie.
Right.
And where it's going to fit in. And I have a feeling that as we get to Comic-Con in a couple of weeks, Marvel is going to have a 90-minute panel in Hall H. So
yeah, I imagine we're going to learn some more. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
So I think they want to kind of let all of this breathe a little bit, I have a feeling. I think that's why they've kind of done that. But it's Marvel doesn't seem to be losing any creativity at all. They seem to still be on track.
I'm very
impressed.
It truly is just amazing at how Disney and Marvel have pulled this off for 10 years now, you know, and it mm-hmm. They rarely falter on it, you know. It's just all good. It's pretty insane and brilliant, really. So, because this is something they're going to do for who knows for how long.
Right. Well, and like we were talking earlier about Stranger Things and the attention to detail, it's amazing the amount of detail that goes into the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can then all of a sudden throw something out that you're like, that was like 14 movies ago.
Right.
And the thing is, even if this is the first movie you're seeing, it's not going to take away from that experience. But if you're a fan and you've put in the time for these movies, there's a payoff. And I think that years from now, I think people will definitely still be looking at the way Marvel came into this and how they put this universe together. And yeah. I think people will definitely be paying attention to it. And future franchises and stuff, they need to be looking at the Marvel formula. Not necessarily, I think, like trying to imitate it, but just paying attention to the amount of detail. And you can't just be thinking one movie ahead, two movies ahead. You need to be thinking
many
movies ahead.
Right.
And I have a feeling that they know exactly where this is all going to end eventually, oh, for sure. Whether that's 5 years from now or 10 years from now.
Right.
I think that's, they are thinking that far ahead.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure they have it mapped out, or at least an idea mapped out. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. So yeah, so I highly suggest going to see Spider-Man. It will definitely not disappoint.
All right. Well, I'm going to see it later this week, so I'll let you know what I think.
Oh, good. And also, don't forget that Toy Story is out there, Toy Story 4, Rocket Man, and what are some? Yeah, those are really the movies that I would highly suggest seeing this summer. I'm going to screen Lion King this week.
Okay, good. So let me know how it is. I'm on the fence about that. So.
Yeah, I know. And it's another thing. It's like, oh man, am I ready to sit through Mufasa dying again? I don't know if I am. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. It really is. As a kid, I remember I was like, oh God, when I got on home VHS, I remember fast forwarding through that part. It's like, oh, I've that once. I don't want to relive it again because it's such a good job.
Yep. Okay, well.
Yeah. So that does it, I think, for us.
Yeah, I think so. We got nothing else to talk about, so. Okay, well, you guys can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, at A Gal and A Gay. We also on Instagram, A Gal and A Gay. So you can find out what we're talking about and that sort of thing. Find us on Podbean, A Gal and A Gay. That's it. So,
yeah, and also don't forget to go over to the article from Podbean and look at some other podcasts to follow, and we will keep you guys updated on the episode we'll be on for Pop Culture Cosmos, and then we will have them on ours.
Absolutely. Okay, so until next time, goodbye.
All right, bye guys.